Iniesta, Messi. And Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo.
Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Muller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. It's been a very long time since we've done a show. lots of things have gone by. We're going to do our best to try and pick up where we left off. We're not going to recap everything that's happened during the time we were gone, but we'll do our best to keep you up to date and keep you abreast of our opinions of what's gone on in the past 4 weeks as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about the EPL regularly, as usual. Going to touch upon the Serie A, maybe do a little bit of Champions League, and hit upon our two segments, What I Hit and the Flat Four. Hopefully, like I said, we can squeeze everything that we've missed into the show, but I doubt it. As usual, you can get to us on our website, footballweekly.com. It's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can reach us on Twitter at footballweekly. That's football, FUTBOL underscore weekly. You can also get to us individually at our Twitter handles. Joe's is JoeCola4 and mine is Reginaldinho underscore 5. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, and TuneIn. There's a number of different ways you can get our podcast. If you can subscribe via email, and there's a number of different podcatchers on the website as well. Just go to the website, go to the subscribe page, and all the information you need is there. So, jam-packed show. Got to get this in. Let's do it. Sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. Well, like we said in the intro, it's been a very long time since we've been on.
It's been a while.
Very long while. I'd like to introduce Joe. He's the co-host of Football Weekly, alongside myself, Reggie, in case you forgot our names. This week, we're going to start off in the EPL. And since we last spoke to you, nothing's really changed.
It's a wacky season. What else do we say?
True indeed. True indeed. There's been some, I don't know if there's been upsets, but there's some times where you think teams are going to take full points and they either drop them or only get one. And we'll talk about a few of those games as we go as we go through. Where do you want to start, Joe? We can't go all the way back to where we start.
I know because it's been a while. In summary, just what we talked about, like what has been the, you know, what's been happening, and what's been happening is, like you said, Reggie, does anybody really want to win this league? This is going to be like who's the last man standing if it's like a slugfest. And I do mean slug meaning like not, you know, everyone not moving at their best, really. It's like, I think Rio Ferdinand was saying how this might be one of the worst EPL seasons in terms of teams being in form and being at their peak and at their best.
Right.
And there might be something, you know, to be said that validates that. I mean, it's almost like, I feel like using the, you know, Chris Berman, if you're a football fan in American football, come on, Seattle. He used to say that, like, come on, like, you know, meaning like, let's go, somebody, you know, take the reins here. I mean, is it Man City? Arsenal gets hot, And here comes Arsenal, and then, you know, Arsenal becomes Arsenal again and has a little stall. You know, dare I say, the only team that looks like to be the most consistent. Dare we say it, Reggie?
The minnow?
The not-so, you know, mini minnow, the mighty minnow of Leicester City and Jamie Vardy and of Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah.
Are they ever going to go away?
Well, if they keep playing the way they're playing, and Vardy's, I don't know what he's on.
It's 11 goals in straight, 11 goals, right?
11 straight matches with a goal. I don't know.
This is, you know, it's been well documented, right? If you know, you guys are on Twitter and you guys are watching wherever you're watching and so on, and Instagram, whatever it might be, you know, your social media sites, you know, this is a guy who was in the fifth tier not so long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, in English football, you know, like a former factory worker and so on. And he is now the toast of the EPL and is going to be, might be the first name on the sheet for Euro 2016.
Well, he has to be the starting striker for England. It's got to be, doesn't he? Well, in this form, if this keeps up, he has to be.
He's got to be.
Before Rooney, even.
Oh, before, I mean, yeah, and like, you know, another stat we saw the other day is, you know, Sturridge has been at Liverpool for, I don't know, 130 games or something like that, and 70 of them he's been played, and 68 of them or something like that he's been on, like, injured. Like,
who?
Sturridge.
Sturridge.
Daniel Sturridge.
Refresh my memory. Who, Sturridge?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was Sterling. Sturridge. No, I don't know him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, talk about even Sterling. Like, where's the form, right? So I think with Leicester...
Well, wait, before you go on, the form of who? Sterling? We know he's overrated, don't we?
I think we've said it a lot here. Yeah. And you know what? Dare I say it again, folks. We're right, weren't we? Did we not say so? Did we not say that this Leicester team wasn't going to go away so easily?
Well, I mean, you said.
I mean, Reg, I don't think any of us... would have predicted. I did say, didn't I? No, but I don't think any, like even myself, did not believe they were going to have this climb.
Well, of course
to the
not.
Top.
Of course not. Like we said earlier in the podcast, it was last year. It was Aston Villa. They were in third. They were in third place after six games, and we're talking about Aston Villa going to the Champions League, and they almost got relegated.
Yeah.
So exactly. We figured it was going to be one of those. It was going to be one of those where. You know, Leicester starts off high, but they're going to fade away because Arsenal, Man City, Man United, Chelsea,
you know,
Liverpool,
the cream will rise. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it doesn't seem so.
It doesn't seem so. Again, there's a lot of fun in saying, you know, well, this will be the time. And let's face it, Reggie, we've, you know, well documented with us, this is going to be the time. We always talk about the crazy schedule that is the English season.
Right.
And they do it like no one else because of the 15 cups that they have and so on and so on. They play on Boxing Day and on New Year's Day and so on. So if there's ever going to be a time, this is probably going to be, like, we're coming into the time where Leicester's going to really feel it, but I don't know. Do they even make this January window? Do they get somebody? I mean, they're well-backed in terms of money, you know.
Or why do they need to change anything?
What do they need to change? Like, maybe just to reinforce? I don't know. Like, this like I said, I think... Claudio Ranieri and Jamie Vardy, they're the two ones you hear about. But this club deserves a heck of a lot. This is already, for me, the story of the year.
Right.
You know, even if they were to falter, and then I think if you're a neutral, I think you got to cheer for them. You know, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, all the big club fans, and you're one of those, you know, supporter of the Gunners and whoever, I mean, you totally don't want to see other than your team win. So who's going to, like, make you... lose your breakfast more, I guess, or at least. Well, maybe it's Leicester City. Like, I don't know. This is just, it's like, I feel like, you know, if you guys are familiar with Seinfeld, you know, Kramer takes the car for a ride and he's with, he's on the tank of gas and you want to see how far it goes.
Yeah.
Keep going. It's like, keep going. Let's see how far they can take this.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway.
For sure. You make a good point. I'd rather see Leicester City win the EPL than any one of the top five other top five. And
be a great story, but we'll see.
Great story for sure. Chelsea.
Oh, you know, they're advertising this spoof on one of the American networks here of a show, you know, like the old Latin American soap operas. And this, to me, this is what this is. I mean, how about our boy Diego Costa?
Well,
I mean, can we talk about that?
I personally just don't like. I don't know him, but just
he looks like a character on one of those telenovela shows.
Yeah,
you know,
for
on those,
sure.
He would fit the soap opera.
Just from what I've seen of him on the soccer field, it doesn't seem like a guy that I would get along with. But you never know, right?
So for those of you guys, I mean, Reg will tell our listeners. So of course, most of you guys who are followers of this would have seen this. So he's warming up, right, in the beautiful pink bib, if you will. You know, I guess the manager tells him you're not going in. So he heads up, and of course in England, so, you know, great for theater that you're in. It is like a theater. They're all sitting in the level seating, and he basically throws the bib and just barely misses our boy Mourinho.
Right.
Right, this is a great picture of John Obi Mikel, the Nigerian international, who was just sitting with his arms crossed, and his reaction to Diego Costa throwing that bib is priceless.
I mean, I'm sure it's on Twitter.
Yeah, you got any of those sites, you know, I'm sorry, those feeds, are, you'll find it right on like Football Funnies and so on. But this was, it's Chelsea, as you started with this, Reg. Do we not now expect this every week?
Well, I expect some form of, if this is a word, circusry when these guys step on the field.
Even if it's not, it is.
It's a football weekly word. It's either going to be Fabregas, it's either going to be Hazard, it's going to be Costa, John Terry, Ivanovic. You pick one, and it's something that's going to be involve them and Mourinho for that week, and that's what we're going to focus on for the week.
Nonsense! I cannot believe. You know, again, we're going to go to social media angle with Cesc Fabregas. What an absolutely diabolically bad performance he had against Tottenham.
Oh, he's garbage.
I mean, he's hitting players with his passes, like hitting them.
Garbage. You know,
when they're not expecting it. Yeah, he's hitting the ball out of bounds. This is a player who's part of the champagne football era at Barcelona, Arsenal, Spain. Like, you know, you go on, and this is. They look like they want to redo, don't they? Like, can we start the season over, or can we just get rid of this guy? You know, Mourinho, I think he's done there. Not because I think, where do you go from here? Like, easily he's lost them, has he not, Reg?
Yeah, for sure he's lost the room. He lost the room 3-4 weeks ago. We said he lost the room, but everyone comes out and says what they have to say. No, a player is still respected. Nobody on that team wants to play for Jose Mourinho. You heard it here. Who can't see that?
And I think Abramovich is just saying, listen, you've won so much for me. Maybe you just want to fall. Like, I think of, like, you know, the Last Samurai, you know, like a warrior who's just like, how do you want to go out? Maybe you want to fall in your own
you
sword.
Think,
you know?
You think Abramovich is telling him that?
I think maybe without saying it, you know, I think if Jose says, hey, big man, I think I'm out.
Oh, yeah, but Mourinho's not going to do that.
No, and the ego, this is just a year of nonsense at Chelsea. What else can you say? This is still a team, a roster. And again, I don't feel sorry for them at all. These are not guys that are washed up. Fabregas, who was supposed to be in his prime, had a great year last year. You know, Oscar, I mean, these guys. What has happened to Eden Hazard?
Doesn't want to play for Mourinho.
And there's no. And I tell you, Reggie, I'll tell you today. What he will do with Belgium, he's probably going to have a fantastic Euro.
Of course he is.
Right?
Shop window, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, I mean, he's got zero goals. This is the, again.
Player of the year, right?
For me, no way. He was. Great year, but no. And it's just unacceptable. I've used that word a lot with Chelsea. There's no other word I could say to describe them and their performances this year. But in saying that, Reg, maybe they finish fifth. I don't know, fourth, but it doesn't look like it.
Chelsea, they finish. They'll finish in the top 10.
Yeah.
But to get above 8, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they have 15 points, Reg, something like that.
15 or 14, I believe.
I don't know. Jose looks good on you. I'm sorry, my man.
Yeah, I don't. Like you said, I don't mind this at all.
Not
at all. But anyways, I don't even want to talk about Arsenal because it's just at some point it turns into.
Come on, Arsenal! Like, well, let's go.
Not even that, but it just turns into, like, when last season happened. and guys are getting hurt. It's like, oh, the bad luck that we have with injuries. It's crazy. But now, when you take a look at our injury list and 10 players are on it and 8 of them are first teamers, we're dependent,
Reggie,
on.
Yeah. I don't think it's bad luck. And I tell you,
of course it isn't bad luck.
They need to really, like, all kidding aside, they need to look at this. And, you know, there's been a lot, I think we mentioned it a bit, but there's a lot of research, science that's saying a lot, and maybe we attack this in another show, but they're saying that, you know, muscle injuries absolutely have to be put on the staff.
Training.
Not only the medical staff,
it's
right?
Training.
And this has become, this is nonsense that a club as big as Arsenal with the world champions and the champions that they have, you know, on their roster, that this is happening. This is something that just doesn't, you know, and again, I get it. With a lot of internationals who, you know, traveling throughout the year, playing a lot of scheduled and games and so on. But to the extent that's happening in Arsenal, something's not right.
Of course something's not right.
Right? And the investment that they're making, this has got to be looked into, you know, to state the obvious, right?
And it's a rare day on the Football Weekly podcast where we quote Rio Ferdinand twice, but when he was training with England and they were training at the Arsenal ground, he said, "This it's like playing on cement.
See?
No wonder these guys are getting hurt." That's what he said. It's like the training ground is so hard, it's like playing on cement. Now, I don't know if you need it that hard so the ball zips around, but this is crazy. I've never seen a team have this many injuries. This is
and
football. It's not American football.
Where you have
2 or 3, 4 injuries again. This is crazy. Now Alexis Sanchez is hurt. Now Cazorla is hurt. Now, you know, Koscielny left the game last game. And it's just like...
Yeah, and, you know, breaks, cracks, you know, an ankle turning over, that's different.
Yeah.
But these muscular injuries...
Oh, okay, we have Arteta calf. Walcott calf. Oxlade-Chamberlain hamstring.
Yeah, this is
Alexis Sanchez hamstring.
Yeah.
Koscielny hip muscle.
Yeah.
Who else? Another hamstring. Who's the other guy with hamstring? Like, come on, man. It's enough.
You know, Reggie, I really hope to have this guy on soon. He's a very proponent of this. He's pushing for a lot of this in terms of, you know, and he's done a lot of research, you know, a young lad. And hopefully Ilya Orlov, he used to coach with me at Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the assistant coaches at U of T, University of Toronto here, the men's team, they competed in the Nationals this year.
Right.
And, you know, we've talked about this at length, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, that maybe this is, you know, this is not coincidence. There is a science behind it.
Well, it's not coincidence at all.
That's right. So hopefully we can have him on soon. We want to talk about some other stuff with him and some other guys about the local scene, and maybe he can enlighten us on that too, because this is a little insane that this is happening over and over, especially at a big club like Arsenal, you know, with all of the, you know, what they have at their disposal for this to be happening.
And there's no cover. That's another thing the Arsenal fans are going crazy
about.
Well,
Reggie, it's
no
funny
cover.
You say that, because I think, you know, you've been saying that for a while now.
Years.
You know, the Coquelin thing is a big one. You know, we always said
Coquelin. I forgot about Coquelin.
Add him to the, you know, the infirmary list. And that's what we can blame the tactical side for in terms of the transfer window or you know, the market of who's coming in and so on. I think that's one thing that they absolutely can be held responsible for in terms of, you know, the higher-ups. And higher-up, we do know that includes our man there.
Well,
Mr. Wenger,
he's trying to play this like a video game and just play the same 11 guys over and over
and
over. He knew that Alexis Sanchez needed a break. He said he needs a break and played him again because he had a hamstring injury coming back from World Cup qualifying.
Yeah.
He needs a break. And we played him fucking 90 minutes. And when his hamstring goes, it's not my fault.
Yeah, and it's crazy, especially when you take into consideration the travel with these guys. They're traveling they're not traveling in Europe. They're traveling to South America and coming back.
Right.
You know, like, it's just...
But when you don't have any cover, what are you going to do? You're going to rest Alexis Sanchez when you need points? When half your team is on the injured reserve list, you're going to rest them? You can't.
And there's the conundrum, what you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But, you know, it seems like the more things change, they're staying the same, and especially when you talk about... You know, the two teams that we just mentioned in Arsenal and Chelsea.
Right. Exactly. So, like I said earlier, we're not going to go back and recap all the games I'll recap some of the major ones from this week, this past weekend.
Yeah, we're just going to tell you what's our take on what's happening in general lately, because we've been away for a while.
So my pick for the Minnows was Crystal Palace, and they went into Newcastle. Alan Pardew being the former coach of Newcastle, and smacked them 5-1. Actually, that was at home, but
you know,
smacked them 5-1.
If it were not for Leicester challenging for the top, this would be a great story too.
Yeah, for sure.
So it is a great story. Just that it would get more, headlines, because this is a fantastic Crystal Palace team. And again, kudos to a guy like Pardew, who was absolutely, chased out of Newcastle. And dare I say, well, it's not February right yet. So February, March is when Newcastle tends to wake up. But right now, they're in a full, complete slumber. And it looks like Crystal Palace is just, again, a bit on that same kind of Leicester City ride.
Let me ask you a question. And this is a little bit to what we were talking about earlier. You're looking at Man United, you're looking at City, Tottenham, even Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, whatnot. These guys have the majority, if not all of their players, away on international duty.
Right.
Okay? They're in Champions League as well.
Yeah.
It's got to be a benefit for Alan Pardew, Leicester City, to have 90% of your team there while you're on international break.
I think that's
playing and coaching.
I think that's more than a valid point. We've said that. I've always thought this, that, the burden of in any league, the team that might win the league, the domestic league, might be the team that has the least amount of players who are traveling for those reasons. Right. It might be that team that's not in Europe. I know that helped Roma a couple of years ago in Serie A and so on. Juventus, when they reclaimed their first title from being in, the second division, Serie B, they came back. They had no commitment to anything in the week. And the rest is history. They've gone on, in the last 5 years, been the dominant team in Italy for sure. Champions League final last year. Absolutely, Rich. You have your squad at your disposal.
Exactly.
You have time to work. You have time to, make yourself hard to play against. Again, Claudio Ranieri, go back to this. You give him 95% of his roster, and with his ability to, prepare a team. And again, the Italian manager, usually they're all about the preparedness tactically, right? That's something. And if you look at them play Leicester, they really look like a team. I'm not going to say a Serie A outfit, but I mean in terms of their defensive, shape and their compactness. It's not because of. It's no secret. Like you just said, Reg, he's had time to work with them.
Well, yeah, you have 2 weeks with your team, and maybe
absolutely
Vardy won't be there. That guy doesn't even play. I don't think he plays for Argentina.
Reg, I'm hard pressed to name another international that's going to be going.
Well, I know Mahrez is Algerian, but I don't even know if they're not qualifying. I don't think they're qualifying.
No, yet. I think it's,
so.
No,
you
it's
have you have maybe two guys from your whole squad, and you have your whole squad for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
While teams like Arsenal have players flying in different directions, and you have maybe, well, with all the injuries, you probably have three guys at training.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, for sure. And every single one of them, I just want to mention this about the Arsenal thing. Is it's unfortunate that they're not making it more round, especially when Mesut Ozil is having a fantastic season.
Well, that's the Arsenal fans, we have four things that can happen, okay? Koscielny can't get hurt. Coughlin can't get hurt, Sanchez can't get hurt, and Ozil can't get hurt.
Yeah.
And three of those four things just happened this past weekend, this past 2 weeks. So if Ozil goes down, I'm sorry to say, it's going to be a long season, and especially when we're coming up to what you mentioned earlier, the Christmas break, when you're playing on the 26th, the 28th, and then the 2nd. That's a big three-game stretch there. That makes and breaks people's seasons.
Yeah,
and that determines whether you're going to go into the transfer market and pick up players or buy them in the summer.
Yeah, be a serious buyer. Yeah,
you're gonna know whether you've given up on the league or you're just planning to make it into the Champions League for next year.
Yeah, and Reggie, again, like where we started this point is it's the rest and the ability for players to be fresh and be together in training. There's no replacement for that. There's no substitute for that. And again, as a manager, for a manager, I'm saying, for them being not ready and not having players at their disposal and having to go into a big game without that. It's absolutely stressful, right? Yeah. And you're going to see the lack of consistency in results. Whereas, where have we seen our consistency? Again, we say back to it, a swashbuckling team, you know, a no-nonsense, hard-working team as of Leicester, right? As is Leicester. So, yeah, that's just, people always want us to argue on this show, but there's no arguing that point. I think that's a valid point, and that's one where, you know, from third, fourth divisions in football can argue and agree with this. Can you imagine it at the top level when they're going to play international football too?
Right. To round off this week, Liverpool finally won at home, 1-0 against Swansea. Klopp got his first win. Norwich.
Couldn't watch, didn't see it though.
Right. I didn't watch it either.
If you guys watched it, it was a penalty by James Milner. And Jurgen Klopp. Man, is this guy's worth the price of admission anyway. We'll talk about him. We've given a lot of love to Klopp, but he couldn't watch. He couldn't face the shot, and he knew if Milner scored based on the reaction of the crowd at Anfield. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But anyway,
City beat Southampton 3-1, which is kind of not a shocker, but I thought Southampton would have carried himself a little bit, made it a little bit more of a game, but
yeah, they kind of wrapped it up early. It was 2-0 within 25 minutes.
Right.
So
and the snooze fest of the weekend, Tottenham versus Chelsea, ended up 0-0.
Terrible,
awful
game.
Oh, and probably the best game of the weekend was Bournemouth versus Everton. It was 3-3 game. Did you hear about what happened there?
There is Bournemouth again. You know, involved in again, maybe not, but entertaining. Again, they're very entertaining.
I think there was 3 goals scored in almost injury time.
Yeah.
It was crazy to watch.
Yeah, you know, and again, there's those two teams, no matter if they're playing against each other, obviously, but whoever they're playing, you know, they're worth the watch for sure.
Well, that's our quick and dirty EPL roundup for this for this week's show. Next week's key games, I guess. Well, in the beginning of the season, it might have been a one you circle on your calendar, Newcastle Liverpool, but maybe not so much. There's not really anything going on. Otherwise, Chelsea's taken on Bournemouth, which is bottom of the league table.
You gotta have those 3 points. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
West Ham and United. That's probably going to be the game of the week, and Arsenal's taking on Sunderland. So we'll see what happens there. I'd love to see the team that Arsene Wenger puts up for that game, because I guarantee you there's going to be a couple of 16-year-olds in there, because that's pretty much all we have now.
I think they're going to have to go with the young lads, right?
Pretty much. So, like I said, EPL, quick and dirty EPL roundup. We only have an hour, guys, so we just stick to top topics and speak on those.
Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo, Bale. They are the superstars of La Liga, masters of the game. And now, they come together for the most watched sporting event in the world. El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico.
So last weekend, we had one of the games of the... Well, you definitely circle these two dates on your calendar. And it takes place in La Liga, and they call it El Clasico, and it's between Real Madrid and Barcelona. Now, shocked? I don't think so.
Reggie's not shocked. At 4-0 drubbing.
I'm not shocked, yeah. Well, for those of you that didn't hear, it was 4-0 for Barcelona over Real Madrid.
It was at the Bernabeu.
It was at the Bernabeu. And again, I'm not shocked.
Tell me why you're not shocked, Reggie.
Coaching has, when you're playing that type of game against a rival like that, coaching has everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Benitez, I don't think Benitez is ready for that type of challenge. And we've said this before. Everything always comes back, right? We've always said this before. Mm-hmm. Benitez is not the coach for Real Madrid.
Well, they don't want to play for him. And now our main man, Cristiano Ronaldo, is you know, maybe voicing his displeasure. You know, and then I'll let you finish, Reggie. But
maybe Mourinho wants to go back to Real.
Yeah, maybe, but, you know, I think Benitez and Ronaldo, how could this not work? Why, okay, you're surprised, you're not surprised. Okay, I'm surprised at the depth of the game. This was This was a 4-0 game. This is Messi coming in at the 70th minute.
All right.
Or so. Now, again, this is still Luis Suarez, who is proving that this guy is still one of the preeminent strikers in the world.
Okay.
Not just because of his goal scoring, but his work rate, if you're watching him, whatever. They do have this guy named Neymar. I mean, they even without Messi, they're a formidable force.
Rumor has Real Madrid going after him, but go on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently he turned down. We'll talk about where else he might be going, too. But, you know, this looks like the Barcelona of a couple of years ago. And a couple of years ago, this team did win the Champions League last year, didn't they?
They did.
Yes, but this looks like the team that is, like, again, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, they're having fun. They're doing amazing stuff. We forgot about this one guy. He came back to life in this game. And you know, they nicknamed him the genius. Iniesta was absolutely clinical in this game.
Well, he was head and shoulders above anybody in the Real Madrid.
Unbelievable about the amount of times this guy receives the ball in great positions. And he's just... It's like kind of like a Swiss watch. He's just constantly going.
I saw a picture on Twitter after the game, and it showed the field. They cut the field into three sections, obviously, right? And they had, in Real's defensive zone, Real had 5 players. In the midfield, they had 0. And above, in the attacking zone, they had 5 players. So they were playing 5-0-5.
There you go.
And there was four Barcelona guys in the middle, and they just had all the time in the world to do whatever they wanted. And you can't give those guys that, especially when they're going to start feeding Suarez and Neymar.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think, where you go back to Benitez.
Exactly.
Here's a guy that is, it's like Mourinho now at Chelsea. They feel misplaced. I don't think they feel like they're there, but they're not there. You know, like, we always talk about identity in this. Barcelona, to me, has regained an identity. And again, this is a team that won the Champions League last year.
Right.
But it's the way they're doing this right now, right? And then Barcelona goes from dominating El Clasico, dominating it, thrashing, to going in the Champions League and absolutely hammering Roma 6-1, and it was 6-0, I believe, at one point.
Well, before you go into the Champions League,
was, but anyway.
Let me ask you a question. Being a coach, you're Real Madrid. Do you concede that Barcelona is a better team than you? You're Benitez, we'll say. Do you concede that? Yes, in your mind, yes, Barcelona is better than us.
I guess, Reggie, but it's hard to say that when you got. I mean, like, this is still
by the players that are on the field. Is Barcelona better than us? If you're Benitez and you're Real Madrid,
I think if it's them, I don't think they see it that way, Reg.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Now, if you're going to set up a tactics for that game, what tactics do you set up? And we've been screaming about this with my squad.
You can't go punch for punch with Barcelona.
Well, exactly.
You know, and this is my thing with, you know, I've watched, you know, AC Milan. My team, like my team that I, you know, support for years, they've grinded. This is hilarious that I have to say this. They grinded out results against Barcelona when they did have Thiago Silva, by the way, and Ibrahimovic. Amazing that they would have to grind out a result.
Right.
But it's true. You have to put away your arrogance. And I think Real Madrid, there's no way that at the Bernabeu can you say, "Oh, we're going to park the bus a bit."
But not even park the bus.
I don't want to say that. Yeah, I mean, but be a little more. Let's say be more cautious, Reg.
Yeah, more cautious. Maybe hit a couple of counters. You have the horses to hit on a counter.
Absolutely, we've talked about this before.
Right.
About Arsenal having to go that way. And,
right.
You know, but like Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo. Hmm. Well, why wouldn't you play that way?
Well, I mean, there's games that you can come out and just stand toe to toe and start slapping people in the face. That's fine when you're playing Real Betis or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're going to play Barcelona, you have to go in there tactically smarter than thinking that, okay, we're at home, we're Real Madrid, this is what we got.
Like, and I think this is where we say, like, are we surprised? Like, Benitez is not in this is stating the obvious. The last 2 years and where he's been, and think of what he did with Napoli. He has struggled.
Well, this is why. He asked me, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he doesn't have this team ready to play this game.
So he didn't. In terms of this, and here's what I say, Reggie, this is where the only thing I disagree with you, but I think we're agreeing, but let's say, for argument's sake, we're disagreeing about how totally it's the fault of Benitez and his tactics and so on. This guy, Ronaldo, I'm convinced he does not want to play for this team anymore. And for me, Reggie, that's the greater issue here. So that's when people tell me about who's greater, Messi or Ronaldo. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Ronaldo's not one of the greatest players ever to play this game. He is. But there's a difference here. To me, it looks like he has, you know, the gas has run out of the tank in terms of motivation, and maybe he wants a new adventure, and he's not seeing this through. And that's why I can't put Ronaldo with Messi on par.
Ronaldo has proven to me that he can do it in different league. And I know you're going to sit there and say, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters to me. If you can go to the EPL and be a star, and then go to La Liga and be a star, I hold that in more regard than staying on one team and just doing
your thing. Well, here's the thing for me,
Reggie. You're playing on one of the best teams in the world with maybe seven of the best players at their position in the world.
Sure.
I'm talking about Messi at Barcelona and Messi.
I have trouble thinking that a guy like, you know, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos,
if you were to say toe to toe, hey, would you rather have Rakitic or Toni Kroos? Who would you take?
You know, probably today Rakitic. Okay. But
would you rather have Iniesta or Modric?
Well, you know, that's funny you say that. For me, I'm always going to say those guys. But a lot of people a year ago were saying, absolutely, 100%. Kroos and Rakitic was pretty close. Kroos came out of the World Cup 2 years ago, being this, you know, everybody wanted him, right? Iniesta was saying a little bit on a down spell. Modric is replacing him. So I really look at it as a team. This is the perfect example, Neo Classical, of culture, and I mean culture of the club, culture of when Pep Guardiola left. People thought you're still going to have a great Barcelona because they have great players, but you're not going to see them play the same way. I think it's been proven that the Barcelona culture reigns supreme here.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture of how they're going to play. And the culture of Real Madrid is, it's not working to their standard right now. Real Madrid still might win the league, still might win their Champions League. This is the craziness of this conversation,
right?
Or the topic. But they're not doing it. Their culture in Real is, it ain't working, we'll buy. And they're going to go in a different direction.
Mm.
You know, there is that. Now, you've mentioned about Messi. I have this, and there's, you know, been rumblings that Messi might go to Man City.
Messi's not going anywhere.
With Pep Guardiola. Now, here's what I say. And I agree with you. I don't think he's going anywhere, Reg. And why would you, though?
Why would he leave? Yeah, exactly.
To say, I want to prove that I can play in a different league. But it's like this. It's like, to leave this opportunity to win and continue to be in contention to make history, I don't think it's going to happen. And it's the personality of Lionel Messi that is different than Cristiano Ronaldo. And it is different. Messi is, again, I'm beating down on Ronaldo for his different attitude. Hey, I guess I am. I already acknowledge he's one of the greatest players ever, never mind of our time, right? But this guy, like, Messi, Neymar, and Suarez. There's this thing now. Again, they're calling him MSN. But anyway, those three guys. So much has come out now to say that they're great friends. And they've built this relationship.
Okay.
And they've built this connection. And all we hear about with Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale is what? They hate each other. He hates this guy. So the Real Madrid thing is a team with all these stars with no identity. Mm-hmm. So we know Real's going to fire Benitez. He's not going to last.
He can't last.
He'll be gone. Again, the rumor mill says that Cristiano's going back to where? Man United. You know,
For 80 million, the same amount they paid to get him? Yeah. I doubt it, but
you know,
okay.
For me, the Clásico can be summed up as this. What is old is new again. Yes, Messi, Neymar, Andres Iniesta proved again. Don't count this guy out. The Barcelona way was magic.
Joe, both of us could have played in that midfield that game, I think.
I don't know. I just think I think what you're saying, Reggie.
There's nobody there to contest them.
And so, Reg, you're saying that, you know, this was, to get it straight, you're saying that it was more of, yes, Barcelona was good, but this was more of Real being bad and Benitez getting it wrong, right?
A combination of the two, but more more of Benitez.
Because we had this talk off, you know, through text, off air, obviously, and we're thinking, you know, I'm saying, wow, Barcelona. And you said, well, slow the boat. It's more of, you know, don't discount that Real was pretty bad and disinterested here. Yeah. And I'm gonna ride the Barcelona wave. So we'll see where we end up.
You were saying Barcelona, and I was like, okay, Barcelona, that's great. That's fine and dandy. But I liken it to NBA basketball. I'm going to put a team together that has LeBron James, Kobe Bryant in his prime, Michael Jordan in his prime, Tim Duncan, and then I'm gonna jump up and down when we beat teams. You should be smashing teams, and I know we're gonna talk about Champions League and what they did to Roma, but you should be beating them, and you should be beating them badly, with that squad.
It should be lights out for everything.
You should win everything, and I shouldn't be shocked, and there shouldn't be a parade when they win. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Reggie, I hear you.
That's
but for me, yeah, for me, I just think in this day and age where, you know, you have that talent on the other side as well.
Right.
To still to beat teams by 3 goals and more is still a feat in itself. So in 2 games to beat, now I don't put Real Madrid in the same realm as Roma. Real Madrid is in a different category than Roma. You know, a little bit, one more of a...
Even with Benitez as the coach?
They're an upper, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we know your love for Benitez, but, well, talk about a coach who's in trouble and might be out for different... is Rudy Garcia. This is just...
Already,
anyway.
Eh?
Oh, jeez. But anyway, so 6-1, 4-0, 10-1 in 2 games. I think for Barcelona, they probably don't want to peak too early. Because like we said, Reggie... I'm coming down on Real Madrid as well. Who's to say they don't lift that trophy in the end?
Well, like who, Real or Barca?
Oh, Real. I mean, like Real still. Benitez again, this is still anything. Real Madrid. So.
Benitez isn't winning anything. Mourinho said it. He said it when he was coaching Real Madrid. Played 2 games a season, Real Madrid, and they're both against Barcelona.
Yeah.
So that tells me competition none. And maybe Atletico. Maybe Atletico. Yeah. It would be for Real Madrid, it's a derby game anyway. But they only play 2 games, and they're both against Barcelona. So the rest of the games, you got to get your points. And the rest of the time, they do get their points.
Right? Yeah, and we saw the year.
And it's the same for Barcelona. They probably look at it the same way. We play Real Madrid twice. Those are pretty much the games where we have to, you know, turn it up a notch.
Look at the seasons where it was 100 points and 99 points or something like that, right?
Right. So... Yeah. That draw or that loss to Barcelona probably seals up the in the end of the season. You're going to look back and say, well, you know what, that's the game that we lost that lost us the league.
Yep. Well, we'll see, Reg.
Well, we'll see. Yep. We'll see. Big bad Barcelona, please.
We'll agree to disagree.
You want to go through a little bit of the Champions League, I guess.
Nah, but I guess we should.
I know, eh? Nothing really happened.
Can we just get, look, what are we going to say? Man U, oh, boring Man U again. Zero, they got to win now. Oh, right?
Yeah, for sure they have to win now, yeah.
To give themselves a chance. Mm-hmm. Roma's got to beat Bate to have a chance. Mm-hmm. Arsenal must beat Olympiacos by 2 goals, you're saying, right, Reg?
Right. To have a chance, yeah.
Are we going, this is good. Juventus, hey, got to give them credit. They beat Man City again.
Again, yeah.
You know, and they have qualified.
Right.
So now I think Man City's through as well, though. They're just trying to see who's going to win the group. Correct, Reg?
Yeah, I believe so.
So that, and that's always big because we've seen about, you know, who you can avoid or play. Anybody else care about anything else?
And your immature Real Madrid, tell them what they did.
Well, they come back. They come up flying. I think it was 4-0 at one point. And then almost blow it against Shakhtar, 4-3, right?
Exactly. Like that. Exactly.
So, you know, again, can we move on from them?
Yeah, we definitely move on from them. So that's we have some pretty big games coming up in week 6 of the Champions League. My eyes are going to be on the Arsenal Olympiacos. That should be very interesting, especially with the news coming out today that Santi Cazorla and Sanchez aren't going to be playing in that game. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly.
Well, I'm giving it, you know, Arsene Wenger can't make this excuse anymore because this is, we talked about it earlier, it's partially responsible. He needs to get a result here. I'm going to predict they're going to win 3-1 at least, if not 4-1.
I wish I shared your optimism, but I'd rather go to the Europa League, unfortunately, but we'll see what happens anyway.
And now where are we going?
Go play some Thursday night games in Russia or something.
Yeah, there you go. On a cold night in Zenit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Place or is it St. Peter? St.
Petersburg.
St. Petersburg, the place, or people going to start yelling at us? I apologize for Russian.
Russian geography. And you touched upon it a little bit, just to end it off. You touched about it a little bit before. There's a rumor coming out that Pep is coming to Man City, or is that done?
That's a rumor, but, you know, we've heard the Pep rumors before. I tend to think he's going to stay one more year. But
one more year?
We'll see.
So moving on, we're going to talk about, well, Joe's going to talk about Serie A.
Reggie's favorite league.
My favorite league, Serie A.
You know, the tactically tough league.
Yeah, for sure.
That is Serie A.
0-0, 1-1, 0-0, 1-1.
Oh, I don't know about that, Reggie. I think if we go through it,
yeah, I know,
there are more goals. Okay.
The 0-0 games are probably the best games anyway, but anyways.
So, we won't talk about a lot of the results. We'll talk about continuing again. Fiorentina, Paulo Sousa, this team is, I think, it's Serie A's highest scoring team, right? Right up there with, I think, Borussia Dortmund and the other teams are, you know, doing some great things offensively and so on. They're not going away. I think they're in third now, but very tightly, hotly contested Serie A. Today, top of the table clash between Inter, Roberto Mancini, and Napoli, who are led by a not very known coach outside of Italy, but Mr. Sarri, who has led Napoli today to a 2-1 victory, and they are now officially top of the table.
Napoli,
and
right after
Napoli is top of the table, and who left them, Reggie?
I was about to say right after Benitez.
There
left,
you go. So Maurizio Sarri is leading them to the top of the table, and Benitez is at Real Madrid. So 31 points, I think, I believe they have. They're top of the table.
Yep.
Inter is 1 point behind, so they came in 3 points behind, or 2 points behind, I should say, and are now alone at the top of Serie A. And your leading scorer, Capocannoniere, they call it the leading scorer in Italy, Gonzalo Higuain.
Sure is.
12 goals.
Sure. And it's shocking. You sound shocked.
It's shocking. I do, because, I mean, this is a guy who missed a penalty shot, a PK, to put them in the Champions League last year in the automatic when he missed one on the last day. Napoli fans would know, but I have many good friends that are Napoli fans, so I'm very happy for them. And I've always liked Napoli because of Diego Maradona back in the day, Zola, and so on and so on. It's a southern club. So, you know, they are top of the table as of now. Don't count out Fiorentina. It's fantastic that they're doing. And ho-hum, don't look now, but a team that is motoring along now, four straight wins in Serie A, you might have heard of them, Juventus. Mario Mandzukic has found his scoring touch. Pablo Dybala, who we talked about here, Reggie, is the next great Argentinian, kind of like a little mini Tevez, if you will, and more like an Aguero, I would say.
Right.
Anyway, both very complimentary. Paulo Dybala really finding his home in Juventus, and they've rattled off four straight wins. Most recently, a big win against AC Milan, big rival.
How is AC doing?
AC is not doing too poorly. They actually just beat Sampdoria 4-1.
Right.
And Niang, a French player, Niang, finally getting the chance with 2 goals and 1 assist.
Oh, wow.
So they beat them 4-1. Again, they sputtered with that loss to Juventus, but they're in 6th place, 5th place, and slowly turning a corner, says Sinisa Mihajlovic. But, you know, once again, slowly. But Niang, it was great to see him, you know.
Finally,
eh? Yeah, and you know what? Again, who knows? Maybe France comes calling him, too. They have a lot of great strikers. But that's the story in Serie A. And in our flat four, we also have some Serie A love. We in flat four, I bring it all together. And dare I say, folks, then maybe Reggie goes 75%. I'm putting pressure on him.
Oh.
I think Reggie can go 3 of 4 in our next segment, which ties in Serie A, international football, and Arsenal.
Okay, well then let's do it.
So let's do it. Flat let's four, it. Reg?
Flat four, Joe.
Okay.
It's 4-4. It's 4-4. It's 4. Oh, brilliant!
So this week's flat four.
Oh, I'm excited, Reggie.
Should be interesting. I was told I'm going to go for 75%, so let's
I think Reggie can do this, guys. I really believe in it. I
why can't I
go
100%? What the hell? What's the fourth question looking like?
I think we're going to get him with the fourth one. But you know what? Maybe this is what. Hey, how about that? Reggie's going to try to go 4 for 4. Okay, here we go. Right. Need one before you can get 4.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Reggie,
yes.
We've talked a lot about this. We know about where your allegiances lie, put it that way. If you guys have been listeners of our show, I'm not going to get into what teams Reggie supports internationally and in the EPL, but if you've listened to us, you definitely know. Okay, so with our first question, Reggie,
yes,
this player plays for Udinese currently.
Yes.
He's a midfielder.
Yes.
He is a Ghanaian international.
Yes.
Who is that player, Reggie?
Badu.
It's good night. He's not going to miss that one. Cool as you like.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Reggie starts it off with a bang.
I know my player. I know where my players are.
68 or almost 70 appearances for Ghana. So whenever I saw that, I said, Reggie's going to get this one. And he is a good player, let me tell you. Wow. Okay. So, now, I will say this. I was going to use, I don't know, Reggie, if you know Aqua as well.
Mm-hmm.
Too easy.
You played for Parma, too.
Very good player.
So yeah, for sure.
We'll talk about it. The next player, this is going to really bring us together here.
Okay.
Okay. So, this player plays for Sassuolo, Reggie's favorite.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Favorite team.
Sassuolo.
In Serie A.
Yeah, okay.
Who he actually knows how to spell.
Almost.
This player plays for Sassuolo and is of Ghanaian descent. Mm. Reggie, can you name that player?
Sassuolo. What position does he play?
He's a midfielder as well.
What team did he... He's on loan, right?
No, I think he's with them permanently.
That guy's not Ghanaian, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Is this one of the ones I was going to get?
I thought, because of the Ghana angle here. See, Aqua, you would have got. Alfred Duncan.
He's missed it from 2 yards.
Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
See, Reggie. You jumped out of the car too early, Reg.
I did. Sassuolo. I remember because I was looking at his last name and I was like, Duncan from Ghana?
Yeah.
I remember that too.
So ladies, just so everybody knows, guys, Sassuolo is actually, I've chosen them as the team I'm going to support, as well as my stumbling, bumbling AC Milan, so Sassuolo. Okay, had a tie today against Fiorentina, so we're good. So Reggie, you still are in line.
Got to run the table. Got to run the table here.
Okay, Reggie, this player, Arsenal is currently courting this Brazilian-born Italian, who played with LS Verona. Arsenal is looking to bring him in, possibly in January or the end of the year, but most likely in January. Brazilian-born Italian, who is a defensive midfielder. Okay. who is very famous for playing with Verona, with Luca Toni.
He is now
currently with Napoli.
Oh.
That's the kicker. See, guys, I knew this would get him going.
Not Polito.
No, keep going, Reggie. I think you got this guy. It's a one-namer.
I see him. I don't know his name.
You're going to kick yourself again, Reg. I win again, guys, just so you know. Do you give up, Reggie?
Hang on. Oh, my God, man. I just read this yesterday.
That's what I thought. So as soon as I say Napoli, that he's going to...
No, Polito's a striker.
It's because of midfielder. Where's number 8?
Don't tell me. That's with a J, no?
Reggie, here you go. Yes.
Go.
There you go.
Jorginho.
There you go, Reggie.
Is that
it? That's it. Jorginho.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Nice little side foot finish.
So there you go.
Buddy, I just read this yesterday.
This player, who again, will probably play for Italy to break into the Brazil team. But, yeah, there is a great chance that he will be, he's being very heavily courted by Arsenal. Apparently, Arsene Wenger has sent a lot of scouts to see him and watch him play.
Well,
he's gone himself.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, he's done that before, but anyway, he is a Arsenal
target.
Target, yes. Thank you, Reggie.
We've scouted Messi. We didn't want him. We scouted Ronaldo. We didn't want him. We scouted Diego Costa and Michael Essien. We didn't want them. So
Arsene Wenger is very picky, Reggie. So Reggie, to close it out, to go 75%, to go 3 of 4.
How did I do the last time? Anyway, do you remember?
I don't know if I want to remember.
Okay,
but
never mind.
No, did you do 3 or 4?
I don't remember.
You might have.
I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and check, guys. Okay. That's how long it's been, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen. So, okay, here it is.
Okay.
In honor of, so we've been so long since we've done a show. There is actually, every team has punched their ticket to Euro.
Right.
And one of those teams is, we're happy to say, and especially I think if you're a neutral, Sweden will be playing in this summer's Euro 2016.
Don't ask me who the coach is.
And no, I won't, Reggie. But Zlatan Ibrahimovic, we're going to say thank you. You know, thankfully, Zlatan will get to compete in a major tournament.
Yes.
And for me, that's always a good thing.
Yes.
Right? And if you're a fan of him, even better. And I think most people will tune in to watch him, whether you love him or hate him.
Yes.
So anyhow, so welcome. So that's good news for Sweden and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, that he probably might be playing his last major tournament, maybe another World Cup, who knows. But anyway,
one more
in honor of that. Reggie, when was the last time that Sweden medaled at a major tournament?
Medaled? Does that include the Olympics?
Yeah, so there you go. And then let's say finished in the top three.
Men?
Yes, and in soccer.
Well, the women are pretty good.
That's why I said men. When was the last time the men's national team in soccer, football, medaled, finished in the top three at a major tournament?
Euro? I don't know.
Do you give up, Reggie? You're going to concede and make it 50%?
You said the Olympics count?
Yes, and it's not the Olympic Games. How about that?
Okay.
I just wanted to say medaled. I wanted to say medaled, you know. I got a little ahead of myself.
Brolin and Dahlin playing back then?
Was that, Reggie.
Were they on that
Reggie.
Team?
Reggie. Guys, he can go 75 here. This is a 75. Yes, Reggie, they were. For those who don't remember Martin Dahlin, he looked
I
like
do.
O.J. Simpson.
I do. Yeah, and Brolin looked like he was 16.
Eating a lot of cheeseburgers. There's nothing wrong with cheeseburgers.
Euro. Oh, wait. No. Germany and Argentina. Italy. No. I'm going to say Italia 90.
Oof.
But I don't think so.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Reggie, you were 4 years too early in USA 94.
Unbelievable. So unprofessional.
With Thomas Ravelli in net, if you remember, Reggie.
Yeah.
Martin Dahlin, Thomas Brolin, Henrik Larsson.
Larsson, yeah.
Sweden finishes third.
What, in USA?
In USA 94. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, Reggie was close. We got to give it to him. Reggie never gave up. He battled through it.
I'm trying to go back and remember, man. I was just like, when was their heyday? And it was back
Reggie,
then. I thought it was Italian 90, but I guess not.
Reggie, I'm going to tell you, I was impressed by Badu. I'm not going to say.
No.
Badu. Anyway, Alfred, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty good.
I'll take 2 out of 4.
You know, I'll give you 2.5. That was pretty good.
<I'll take>
Anyway, that's our flat four, Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
I worked hard on that one, and I tried to bring us all together, tried to bring all of our topics together.
Good job. Like I said, I like that segment. Guys, there's no what a hit this week. I'm sure there were a ton of hits in the past 4 weeks. But
yeah, we promise we'll be back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In full effect.
A little bit more regularity, yeah, for sure.
We'll get back into the schedule and the swing of things, and we'll have this show running like it used to.
Like I said, what is old is new again, Reggie.
That's it. Are we going to talk?
Barcelona, wow.
We're going to talk. Okay, please. We're going to talk about Canadian players, too.
Yeah, so coming up. Yeah,
coming up.
So you say, is, you know, currently, right now, there is the NCAA tournaments going on, and again, we've talked about this a lot of Canadian talent playing in the NCAA. I'm going to do a whole thing. We're going to do a whole thing, myself and Reggie, and do a whole thing in the next coming weeks. There's a lot of the schools come down here in the Toronto area for some showcasing. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to get some of these players to talk on the show about their experiences. But right now, currently, we have two. And again, for all the other guys, there's a lot of guys who competed in the NCAA tournament, NCAA this year. I'll talk about them for sure. So if you're listening and you say, hey, you didn't mention this guy, trust me, believe me, I will mention all those guys. I'm going to go through all the Canadians, give them the much deserved love that they absolutely deserve. But right now, currently, so I'm just going to give these two guys a little bit of a kick right now, and everyone else will get it for sure, is Dane Sinclair of the University of Maryland, goalkeeper, U18 Canada player. Maryland is in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. And Kamal Miller of Syracuse University, and their team is also competing in the Elite Eight. And he just scored a goal again this week. And like I said, congratulations to both those guys playing big-time programs and in the Elite Eight. One more and they go to the College Cup, the Final Four, if you will, NCAA soccer. I keep saying this. These are young guys that deserve our attention and so on. We'll talk way more about the NCAA players on our next show. I will give you a full list and rundown of what they did this year and how they did and so on. So I know those guys listening that some of them, you know, they're good friends of the guys or siblings. I will mention them, I promise. So stay tuned to that. We're going to do an NCAA Canadian roundup next week.
And we also have some other things definitely in the works with talking to major players, young players in Canada, yes, and coaches, and we're looking to put that together and get that out to you as well. Well, mainly Joe.
Coming, but, yeah, probably the new year, Reg, will say, yeah, that we're going to start calling that. So something for you guys to look forward to. We're excited about it.
Definitely.
And that's, you know, for Football Weekly listeners and so on, it's kind of going to be, you know, our thing that's a little unique to what you might not get everywhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And we're looking into a YouTube channel.
Yes, stay tuned for that. Absolutely. Hopefully have some of those interviews.
Exactly. So we're trying to get some of them on video, and you can see and get some clips of these guys that we're talking about, so you can get more familiar with them and hopefully see them in the red and white of the Canadian national team in the coming
Absolutely.
Future.
And just to give you guys on that note, thank you, Reggie, you know, a Canadian player who we all know who's the MLS Rookie of the Year, Kyle Larin. Mm-hmm. Well, this is where Kyle Larin, you know, he was from Sigma, in Toronto, GTA, but you know, he was at UConn for 2 years, and you know, that's where he made his hay, if you will, and you know, went through the MLS, you know, super draft. And so just so we're keeping you guys in tune with what is relevant and what is current, that is, the NCAA is a great path to pro. So that's what we're going to follow, and we're going to let you know about it.
Definitely. With all that being said, Joe, anything else?
Oh, that was a lot. Sorry, guys. But yeah, that's it.
Definitely, you know how to get to us. Football Weekly, subscribe page, listen, download, share. Catch you next week.